as we are approaching the hour. I will be right back after a short PSA, and then we will continue talking about the concerts that my family and I have seen from 2024 through 2025.
Did you know that the University of Maryland is one of the 50 fittest colleges in America? Our state-of-the-art Epley Recreation Center, School of Public Health, Ritchie Coliseum, and Cole Fieldhouse have a number of resources that help keep Terps happy, active, and healthy. Join the daily group fitness workouts, request a personal trainer, or own your independence and build your own training plan. Exercise can improve muscle strength and boost your endurance and confidence. Feel better and live longer.
All right.
All right.
We are in 2025 still. This is a set of two shows that we saw in succession at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland, AC/DC on May 12th and Metallica on May 28th. No worries. We had a really good time at both shows. Honestly, the energy was up, the crowd was lively, and the performances were good. They were strong. You have anything to say about AC/DC and or Metallica?
Well, it was kind of interesting that we got to see both shows in during the month of May. And for AC/DC, we went as a family of four. Me, Ari, our son Armand, who's Ari's younger brother, and my wife, their mother. So all four of us, the whole family, enjoyed AC/DC. And then we went to Metallica about 2 weeks later, also in Redskins, or I should say Commanders, Northwest Stadium. Yeah, these stadiums change names so often, but Metallica was great. They played very well. Also opening for them was Pantera, who I was not really a fan, but Metallica killed it.
They did. My brother and I both left with neck pain from headbanging at that show. And for AC/DC, Brian Johnson sounded decent. And Angus, towards the end of the show, right before the encore, he went into this 20-minute long guitar solo, after which he got on the ground and started convulsing while still playing guitar, and a bunch of confetti covered the stadium. It was just fantastic. I felt really bad for the people that had to clean it up, though. We will be playing TNT off of AC/DC's album High Voltage and Creeping Death, which was actually their concert opener, off of Metallica's Ride the Lightning.
TV's
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to play all of Creeping Death, as much as I would have liked to do that, but we're going to move right along to two outdoor shows that we saw in the summer. Cheap Trick and Rod Stewart on July 19th, 2025 at Merriweather Post Pavilion, and the Doobie Brothers on August 9th, 2025 at Jiffy Lube Live in Bristow, Virginia.
Yeah, so again, these are really aging performers, and I like to call them legacy performers, and we like to see them because, you know, they're near the end of their career. And in fact, with Rod Stewart, who put on a heck of a show for an 80-year-old, at Merriweather, it was his farewell tour, and it poured on us there. And it seems to be a common theme with us in outdoor venues where we get poured on. But Rod Stewart was surprisingly good. Cheap Trick opened for them, and they were not bad. Vic Nielsen, he was, I guess, 75 or so, but he seemed like he was 95. He seemed very old and lethargic.
Yeah, and then for Doobie Brothers, they put on a great show as well. And the thing that cracked me up about their performance in particular is that everybody loves Michael McDonald. So every time Michael would get on the mic, everybody would start cheering, even if the other members were also singing during the song. But both shows, very strong performers. And despite them being up there in age, I felt that they delivered. I will say, Rod Stewart, he had choreography going on. It was awesome. It was really, really great. Maybe the highest production show that I've ever seen at Merriweather. But we will be moving right along with Do You Think I'm Sexy?, maybe Rod Stewart's most famous hit, and What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers, but originally released as a solo single by Michael McDonald. There's actually a musical tie between the two artists we're going to talk about next, Scorpions and The Who. For Scorpions, we saw them at PH Live in Las Vegas on August 19th, 2025. The Who we saw on August 30th, 2025 at the historic Madison Square Garden venue in New York City. With Scorpions, Klaus Meine, the lead vocalist, he is, I guess, in his very late 70s, or maybe he's 80 now, and he was pretty not immobile. He was walking around, but not too much. He was still getting up there notes wise his voice sounded great, but my mom was calling him turtle in Farsi. She was calling him luck pushed. With The Who, kind of different, actually. Roger Daltrey and Pete Townshend, they still pulled out their super famous moves, the windmill of the microphone cord and the windmill of Pete Townshend's arm when he plays guitar. The entire audience erupted into applause every time they did those things. But for The Who, this was their farewell tour. And unfortunately, we won't have an opportunity to see them again afterwards.
So Scorpions were interesting. And that was another concert where the entire family went, you know, me and my wife and the two children, one of whom is hosting this show. And as I already mentioned, Klaus Meine was, he still sang well, but I'd say that, and Scorpions played well, but it's probably time for them to do a farewell tour next year, I would say. For The Who, what's really interesting is that I saw their farewell tour, their first farewell tour, back in 1982 at the Capitol Center here, which no longer exists. But they were good then, but I thought they were better seeing them in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden in New York City. And as I mentioned, they had a lot of energy for 80-year-olds. You know, they were still able to do the signature windmills, as she mentioned, and they were still performing at a very high level.
They closed out with a quiet song. The song is over, and they turned all of the lights in the venue off, and it was just a very graceful, quiet, and bittersweet moment. And I was very happy to be a part of that. Even though I entered The Who's fan base at the end of their career. In terms of the musical tie we were talking about, I Can't Explain is actually a Who song, but the Scorpions covered it in an album called The Deadly Sting, The Mercury Years, which came out in 90. They performed it at their show in Vegas. And then for The Who, My Generation, this song was about mod culture in the late 60s, and it's got some stuttering in it, which is super cool. I love the song a whole lot, and I hope you do too.
Got a feeling inside. It's a certain time. sister down.
Talking about my generation,
just because we get around.
Talking about my generation,
things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation,
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation,
it's my generation, it's my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Try to dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation.
I'm
just talking about my generation. What we all
talking about my generation.
I'm trying to cause a big sensation. Just talking about my generation. We could get around.
Talking about my generation,
things they do look awful cold.
Talking about my generation,
yeah, I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my
I told the story of how I ended up seeing Oasis on their reunion tour 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to tell it again. I saw them on August 24th, 2025 at Rogers Stadium in Toronto, Canada. I was there with my family, and as I was driving into the city, I saw a huge billboard with Oasis playing Sunday and Monday, and I immediately was like, I need to see them. This is historic. I need to be there. And I was. I bought a ticket the second night we were in Toronto when we were actually supposed to leave. I went to go see them. I got absolutely dumped on by the rain. This seems to be a common theme among a lot of the shows that I went to that were outdoors this year. And they were great. They were great. They closed out the show with Champagne Supernova, after which Liam put the tambourine on his head and they set off a bunch of fireworks. I got back on the metro. I was just shivering cold, trying to find my parents, or just my mom and brother who had come to pick me up. But the one song that I will be playing that they actually, I heard for the first time at this show is Acquiesce off of Oasis's smash hit 1995 album, What's the Story? Morning Glory.
We'll be right back.
September 28th, 2025, we saw Jeff Tate at the Fillmore in Silver Spring, Maryland. We had a great time at this show, honestly. We met a student who goes to UMD who's maybe a year older than my brother, and him and his father ended up going to Jeff Tate's VIP meetup in some middle of nowhere cabin in Montana or something like that. They had two interesting opening acts. I can't remember the names now, but one of them was Scottish and they played some folk-based music. Jeff Tate himself, he is separated from the rest of Queensryche due to legal issues and management disputes. So he is touring by himself as Jeff Tate's Operation Mindcrime. And this is the farewell tour for Operation Mindcrime that we're talking about. It was, I guess, his last time performing the set list or going all the way through the Operation Mindcrime album, which is a masterclass in concept album writing.
Yeah, Jeff Tate, his voice still sounded great. He looked like a country and western star, though, because he was wearing a cowboy hat and the shaved head. But he and his band killed it on stage.
They sure did. We were kind of confused by his outfit, but hey, the music was good, and that's all that matters. Here is I Don't Believe in Love off of Operation Mindcrime.
Oh,
October 3rd, 2025 was LA Guns and Cinderella co-headlining a show in the Carteret Performing Arts and Events Center in Carteret, New Jersey. I had a pleasant surprise at this show. I really didn't have much expectation for either LA Guns or Cinderella, but they both were good. LA Guns cracked me up because their lead singer, they sing a song called Sex Action, and they brought this girl on stage who was clearly much younger than him, and they were dancing together, and it just felt like I was intruding a little bit. Tom Kiefer of Cinderella, his voice, he somehow was still able to pull off the same singing style that he did in the 80s, which I didn't expect.
Well, and especially because didn't he have vocal surgery?
He did. He had nodules, and I think he had 6 separate surgeries to remove them, so he had to teach himself to sing again.
A very good show.
It was. We had a good time. And one interesting thing, too, about the crowd at the show, yes, there was a mix of older and younger people, but a whole host of the younger people that showed up had the entire 80s thing going on. They blew out their hair, they're wearing leather jackets and tall boots. So it was good. Unfortunately, we don't have time to play an LA Guns song. I would highly recommend Electric Gypsy. That's my favorite gym song currently. But we will be playing Somebody Save Me off of Cinderella's album, Night Songs. October 19th, 2025, we saw Judas Priest and Alice Cooper together with Alice Cooper opening. I don't have too much to say about the show besides the fact that they both brought it. They were great. And by they, I mean Alice Cooper and Judas Priest's frontman, Rob Halford. We experienced a really moving moment at this concert, which my dad will tell you about.
So one thing that that I neglected to mention is that this concert was in Los Angeles at the Kia Forum. And prior to Alice Cooper coming on, when they were playing songs, songs to just hype up the crowd, they played a number of Ace Frehley songs in tribute to him because he had just passed 2 days before that concert. So that was moving. The second thing was Alice Cooper played well after he exited the stage, and as soon as they dimmed the lights for Priest to come on, they started playing War Pigs, and there were 17,000 people singing in unison until you get to the point where it's "Oh Lord, yeah," and then they came on. But that was two moving moments in that concert.
Right, and War Pigs is of course by sung by the late Ozzy Osbourne, who passed in July of last year. That was what made it all the more special. This is Hellbent for Leather, the title track off of Judas Priest's album Hellbent for Leather. Okay, my dad has dropped off, so that is the end of his tour with Halcyon Days. And so, I digress. Steel Panther, October 23rd, 2025. This show broke my brain, and let me explain why. First of all, there's a tie between Steel Panther and Judas Priest, who we just played a song from. The guitarist for Steel Panther, Satchel, as he's known, or Russ Parrish, he used to play for Rob Halford, lead singer of Judas Priest's solo act Fight in the 90s. He since went off to form this band with a couple of his band members from a super, super successful Van Halen tribute group called Atomic Punks. During the shows that Steel Panther has, they have a ritual of bringing a bunch of female fans up on stage during a song called 17 Girls in a Row. And I actually ended up getting on stage and dancing. As I was heading up to the stage, Satchel, who very luckily was on my side of the stage, he said he calls dibs on me. Maybe next time I see Steel Panther, he'll make good on that and I'll get to become his bestie or something. But I'm saying it on air. There is going to be, I guess, footage of this. Steel Panthers, Satchel, I have a crush on you. That is all. Here is Eyes of a Panther off of Steel Panther's 2009 debut album, Feel the Steel. I just wanted to close out today's show by saying thank you to anybody who has ever tuned in to listen to Halcyon Days over the last, I guess, 4 years almost. I started the show as a sophomore here at UMD, and I never in a million years